Okay.
Welcome, everyone. Today we're on Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 13, verse 12, and Harm is going to lead our discussion. Go ahead,
Welcome.
Harm.
It's 30 March 2025. Yes. So good to see you all, full class. Welcome, Ruby.
His name is Jude,
Oh, Jude,
I think.
Jude. Oh, sorry, his name is Jude. Okay.
From the Philippines.
From the Philippines. So we're from all over the world today, again. So, let's see. We're at the last time we read. Verse 11, and really stood out. What really stood out, the church ceased, the people of the church ceased to cry out their voices, but opened their hearts. So that's the feelings, if we could remember that always, but we. Can have our hearts open before the altar of God, invoke Him in their feelings.
Can I make a
Yeah,
comment on that?
please.
Because I was preparing and I was also reading verse 11, and it reminded me of Acts of the Three Nephites 7, because it says here, people of the church ceased to cry out with their voice, but opened their hearts before the altar of God, invoking Him in their feelings and acknowledging that no one could save them except the Lord their God. And then, if we turn to Acts of the Three Nephites 7, verse 5, it also talks about invoking the name of the Lord in our hearts. It says there in Acts of the Three Nephites 7, verse 5. In these days, there will be a transformation of the peoples among whom there will be a pure tongue, for each man and woman will invoke the name of the Lord in their hearts, so that the love is the feeling shared by both parties, whether it be between two persons or two groups or even between different cities. For wherever your people are gathered, there will be the same feelings among brothers.
Thank you. Pointing it out, that's the key knowledge we are discovering.
Brother Jude, could you please close your microphone?
Always allow.
So, Brother Russell, would you start with verse 12, please?
Sure. And it came to pass, after God had made them free and showed them his great power, that it was possible for them to return to the land of Zarahemla and abundance, as it shall be with my people in the fullness of times, when at last they shall return to the land of their inheritance, after having passed through the wilderness and take possession of a far country that I will prepare for them beforehand through my chosen ones in the last days. And if it were not for the sake of my chosen ones, none of them would be saved to preserve them from the sudden destruction that will come upon all in their homeland. And just as it happened to Abel and his people while they were in the wilderness, they will be cleansed from the condition of their hearts. The day they learn to invoke me with a broken heart and a contrite feeling.
Interesting. We're so used to contrite spirit.
Yeah.
At least I am.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. As Dewey pointed out in the opening prayer, what stood out to me was the word power. So he's made them free. God had made them free after chastening them from time to time, and opening their hearts also by not making them captives and everything, that they not even could have their voice, use their voices. It's so interesting that it's where God works from the inside, that faith is represented as a seed which we have to water and nurture, that it may grow within us. And then he showed them, when they were ready, this great power that it was possible in the first place for them to return, as it shall be in the fullness of time when they shall return through the wilderness. And this is also very interesting. I will prepare for them beforehand through my chosen ones, that's plural. And if it were not for the sake of my chosen ones, so this is a predetermined group of people, none of them would be saved. And the whole purpose of the wilderness, which is also so interesting, in the Book of Mormon, all the time, the wilderness, the chastening in the wilderness, they will be cleansed. So this is what we have to do from our hardened heart condition, the condition of their hearts, the day they learn to invoke me. And this is what we always have learned in the first invitation. The new sacrament, sacrifice should be a contrite heart and a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So very interesting that they have the word feeling here. Any comments, Brother Steve?
I can't help but to notice the similarities from scripture and patterns. They seem to come calling. But as it was with Amulon, and they couldn't speak these things, but they had to seek the Lord in their hearts. And it goes back to the pattern we see in the scriptures elsewhere. It talks about being brought down into humility through affliction. And the chosen ones in the last day is talking about, and we believe that's our time, and we've been told that, or bringing themselves down in humility and seeking the Lord before the affliction, that we might provide such a rescue for others. And when you talk about what's different about that? What's different when you're brought down into humility or by affliction? Of course, if you stay up here for a long time, we're told that's going to get real obvious real quick. But I think that's to have run out of all other strategies and all of our attempts and all of our money or all of our storage and our bunkers and all those things that we've kind of fed into over the years, none of it will provide relief. And we just don't, we're a lack of strategies. And that when we come to the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, I think that's a whole new level of what Hurtak would call a vibrational light, a communication between one another, that we become one. One heart, one mind. We're on the same page. And it's interesting to pick up on that pattern in the here and there's of the scriptures, and then to see it here. And the reason I bring that up is I feel like there's so much more about that that we don't yet understand, or I don't yet. I can't speak for anybody else, but and when they learn to open their hearts, I feel like there's a power that's going to be released, particularly a unified power that is, Dee was talking about in the prayer, that will bring us power in this world to do the Lord's work. Anyway, I just felt like I should bring that up because every time I hear that, I wonder what else I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. I also felt really strong here, the the frequency thing, the uniting thing. I was thinking about the sounds of the horns at Jericho, the whole city thing. I once did a whole study above the after the destruction in the Book of Mormon, where before Jesus appears, they write. I think it is like 12, 13 cities even, and they write about how they are destroyed. But the one is with fire, the other one is with water, and another one is buried in the ground. So these patterns of cities that are we aware, because they return to very specific to the land of Zarahemla and the abundance, and we have a very specific place now in the place of refuge in near Agudo, Mount Agudo, and it is, do we really believe this? Do we really believe that we are being cleansed of our heart's condition? You know, that we would pray as if the prayer already happened, that we see it in front of us. It is has all to do if we have the right mindset, right feelings, and the right is our will aligned with the Lord. And I am beginning to ponder lately a lot of, about this power, to because we have to stand witness before kings and presidents, and it is interesting, our former prime minister, he is now the big boss of NATO, and Trump is coming to Holland this year, and so we all have our own responsibilities for our own families and peoples and languages. This is the whole thing, and I felt the spirit when you said it, Brother Woodby, the if we really know. I read in the Isaiah, thank you, by the way, Russell, Brother Russell, for the tip of the Isaiah Explained app. It's great study material. So I was reading in Isaiah 37 about the destruction, the first destruction of Jerusalem, and it reminded me of what you said, Brother Woodby, with the when do we invoke the Lord with a real contrite spirit? Are you really trying to save the peoples with the calamities that are coming? And this King Hezekiah, Hezekiah, all the cities were being destroyed, and only then, when the army was coming, he went to the prophet and he prayed, and then in one night, the whole army died of the Syrians, but the king was allowed to go back because of the, and it was so much like the sealed book with Moses and his people, that we have, should have empathy for our own people, not only our families but our tribe, our the ones who speak the same language, the ones who we share something with, and this empathy for the people and the honor of God to all the nations. That's also what Moses said, and this is what we have to do for our time, I believe. I'm sorry, I do not tend to go so far the first verse, but I really felt prompted to share the day they learned to invoke me. Very essential thing, with a contrite, with a good contrite spirit. So, Dewey, would you please read?
Well,
Oh, go ahead.
because it talks about the condition of their hearts, and this also reminded me of a former verse of in the sealed book of Moses, chapter 1, verse 1, because it says there, because of their hardened heart, because of his hard heart condition.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
So the condition, what is that condition?
It's the hardened heart.
That's the hardened heart. Because they have drinking of the wine of obstinacy in carrying out their own counsel because
Yes.
of his hard heart condition, by bearing in greatness the lofty crown which in former times was laid upon the house of Ephraim. And that reminded me of 2 Nephi 27, verse 5, where it says, "For behold, the Lord had poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. For behold, you have closed your eyes and you have rejected the prophets, and your rulers and the seers had he covered because of your iniquity." So there's a lot of conditions that harden our heart over there. And yeah, it's up to us to break that rock around that heart.
And get a personal confirmation. Prayer would be.
Sister Balkett, I think you're right on the money. If we take that condition of our heart, what else could that be? We talk about hardened and we hear about softened and the Lord manipulating to get in the middle. Even as a missionary in the LDS Church, we looked for those prime opportunities when a person's heart was softened, weddings and births of children and things like that, so that they could hear. As I understand, or I think I understand this more, this is the programming that we've talked about in the anthroposynesthema. To me, it's a programming. Our condition of our heart is largely guided, or at least in my interpretation, by the programming I've been given. If you take some of the traditional Jews, they won't allow you to say the word Jesus Christ. They don't want to have that. They were given such a great opportunity, missed it, and become hardened in their hearts about even hearing it. So when we have any remnants of our, and that's what being brought down into in affliction to humility is to have all our programming taken away with no other options. We can't lean on our understanding. We have to trust in the Lord. And of course, that's a defensive statement. But if we get there in a voluntary fashion, in other words, we see the wisdom, we volunteer for this, and we give away, and there in comes consecration and all the things that evolve around our willingness to give up our old programming and make ourselves available to the Lord in a condition of our heart that He can work with us. But open their hearts. I think that's a really, I mean, it's a profound thing to ponder. All the eons, the matrix or programming of the dark one, the veil upon the earth, as it talks about in the book of Moses 26, 7, or whatever, about he will laugh with the chains in his hands and his angels will rejoice, I think, something to that, as the whole world is caught up. But it all started with the conditions of their heart, pride, greed, and the promises of that programming. Anyway, I had too many glasses of tea, sorry.
No worries. Thank you for your insights. I think this is very much the core business with what we're learning here together to unify, open our hearts, our old precepts, putting our soft spots on the table. And again, it's all over the sealed book. Stop whining. It's wrong. It has its place to put your finger on the sore thing, but we have to replace it with noble sentiment. So, but before all, we have to open up our hearts. And you only can open up if you discern the problems first.
Both Tyler and Jude have their hand raised.
Oh,
Yeah.
great. Sorry.
Yeah, let me
Go
speak
ahead.
a little bit. Well, as I understand fully about what you're talking, I know that it would be hard to understand things unless we don't have a broken heart and contrite spirit. The Lord, when He came to earth, He abolished the sacrifices of the law of Moses. And that's why in the LDS Church Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 8, the Lord commanded us, "Thou shalt offer a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God to righteousness, even a broken heart and contrite spirit." So the Lord require us in these latter days not to offer a lamb, because a lamb right now is very expensive. So what the Lord require us is to offer our broken heart and contrite spirit. And once you have the broken heart and contrite spirit, whatever the Lord reveal His scriptures, it would be easy for us to understand and feel ourselves like for this when the sealed book was introduced to me by Sister Renee, and as I tried to read them, I could fully understand that it is the words of God. Because the scripture itself, the sealed book itself, the transcriber of the sealed book was Mormon. Now, if the Book of Mormon, which was translated by Joseph Smith, is not true, then the sealed book is not true. If the Book of Mormon, which was translated by Joseph Smith, is true, then the sealed book is also true, because the same transcriber who wrote the book. Now, I do understand once we try to know the mysteries of God and His scriptures, we need to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Without this, we cannot understand the scriptures, and we will not have the revelation to understand them. That's all I could speak now.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Brother Tyler.
This story of Alma that Jesus references in this passage reminds me of when Alma went to the Zoramites to preach, and he prayed over those who were going with him that there would be nothing in their afflictions that would overwhelm them. And it says that that they experienced afflictions, but that they he gave them strength so that those afflictions were swallowed up in the joy of Christ. So I can see a parallel in this story of Alma's, that they were delivered from bondage, but as a precursor, he lightened their burdens. And it was because of their faith and their patience in those afflictions. And so I believe there's a lesson here for us that we're going to go through this journey. It's going to include a transformation. It's going to teach us how to bring an acceptable heart and offering to the Lord. But that in this process, so that he's going to lift those burdens that have been weighing us down as a people before he delivers us. And that's exciting news. In the speech last night by Prophet Berger, he was talking about us being victims of our circumstances as opposed to taking control and writing the story of our life. And what the Lord is wanting is to free us from this bondage. And a step prior to that freedom that comes in conjunction with learning to open our hearts to Him is that it lightens our burdens. So that is encouraging. It's like foreshadowing that He showed them the freedom and helped them to understand what it felt like before they were actually freed. And then he spoke to them and prophesied, "I'm going to free you." And they were freed by the power of God because of their great faith. Because it says, so great was their faith and their patience that he spoke to them. So when the Lord visited them, it was because of their diligence and because of their faithfulness, and that these things happened. So I can see that parallel. Us, we're going through the same journey. We're trying to come out of bondage. We receive encouragement and foreshadowing along the way of what the Lord has for us in this new freedom. And so, and that lifts the burdens from us so that we're able to not be those victims that we were and start to write that history. It's exciting to me. It's encouraging because I think probably we all have had some of those burdens, not just the burdens of the false teachings that have kept us bound because of the apostasy that we were kind of born into, but our own struggles in life where we've made wrong decisions and brought ourselves into some sort of bondage. So, what good news that God is freeing us and that as a precursor, he's lifting from our hearts those burdens as we learn to open our hearts to him before his altar. So I appreciate that process that takes place in the journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It also reminds me of the Doctrine and Covenants that God creates things first spiritually to give us hope. And then we can do it. And even with our Prophet Mauricio sharing his dream the other day of in the future how it would be in Agudo. It is very interesting. How the Lord gives us confidence, and I think we need that confidence, that growth in faith, to overcome the doubt. So, thank you all for sharing, and this is great. The next verse. When we talk about liberation, liberating ourselves from old conditioning, brother, let's see, where are we? We are at 13 yet. Yes. Amazing. Dewey, would you read that, please?
13. And behold, God did not give you a spirit of bondage, but of adoption, that you may be of good courage to rise to the spiritual condition that is above the feelings which enslave men in the captive state proposed by Satan, and walk in certainty that you are a child of God who has been placed in your heart through the feelings of filiation given by the laying on of hands, the gift of the Holy Ghost, in which you can call in your heart the Father of our spirits in a way that he actually listens and answers your prayer, extending his powerful hand to help you. Does anybody know what filiation, the definition of filiation is?
Yeah, I was going to check the Portuguese on that one.
Brotherhood.
Yeah,
Brotherhood.
family. Belonging.
Also, that you would, I felt like with my that it would be kind of that you have affiliation, affinity, or some kind of that you we would have some words, some God gives you. When I went to the first Invitation Church when I joined at my 27th year, when I read the Book of Mormon, I thought there must be one or two people in this ward here in the city I live in, Groningen, that I have some feeling with. That reminds me here that he would not leave us comfortless through the Holy Spirit, Jesus said. So we, and there's truth in all denominations. It's also in I think in the Doctrine and Covenants, where he says he will not leave them abandonedly, totally abandoned, but we should strive for the fullness. Brussels.
When I translate the Portuguese, it says feelings of sonship given by the laying on of hands.
Oh yeah, filie, yeah, son.
Yeah, and in Dutch is verwantschap, which also means kinship,
yeah,
or relation, or affinity.
And it's interesting. Also, it reminds me of 2 Nephi 25, where it says, the words of Isaiah, they're hard, and I've not taught you about the ways of the Jews, but the plainness will give you no excuse. And this is actually here through that we have of the first invitation. We have no excuse because we have been given the gift of the Holy Ghost through the right channels, as we believe, till the knowledge we then possessed before the sealed book. But it is so good that it is here the peace of the organization, that his house is in a house of order, and we have to organize ourselves, organize everything, organize a house of fasting, a house of learning, and through the filiation given by the hand, the laying on of hands, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. In a way, that's also why, like, in a way, you know, like that he's explaining to a child, in a way that he actually listens. You know, that it's a tool. Like people go through the motions, but not really have a conscience of he actually listens and answers your prayers. So, and then again, powerful, extending his powerful hand. So, are we aware of this great blessing we have been given to have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the certainty? Also, I love the I'm a child of God song. So, and freedom again, opposed to enslaved. Let's go to 14. Or maybe Michael wants to share the scriptures here in Romans.
Yeah, I actually have that pulled up, both Romans and Galatians.
Great.
Romans chapter 8 says, verses 12 through 15, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, which is referenced here. For you are not received, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that's the Romans verse. And in Galatians chapter 4, 6 through 9, it says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir to God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So those are, yeah, perfect scriptures that just line up with this verse here.
Very good. Also with the sonship, the that we're heirs And that really ties the power again in, that we have the power and the responsibility also to use that power, and to cry Abba. It's very, very interesting, the directness of our responsibility to the Father. Thank you for sharing. You have a question.
Because just a question for the English speakers, and because Holy Spirit, and do we read Holy Ghost? But it is the same, right? Because sometimes it's intertwined. Yesterday, in the lesson, it was also called the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit both. So, but
yeah, I think that's true.
It's the same, right?
It's the same.
Yes. It's the same word in Hebrew and Greek.
Yeah, the same.
Yeah. Right.
We are in accord, in agreement. Okay, Brother Woodby, would you please read verse 14?
I'd be glad to. For verily, verily, I say unto you these last words concerning the book of Mosiah, as regards my people, when this record is revealed to them, that the feelings derived from a broken heart before my Father are the greatest power that is in the world. For only a sincere heart, moved by a contrite feeling, is able to move the hand who rules the whole universe.
That's a good friend.
I love the play on words here, because we're used to hearing broken heart, contrite spirit, but it's saying sincere heart and contrite feeling. So just very similarities, right? Synonyms, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but it's interesting to use them there. It makes you wonder, is there something else I don't know about this?
Especially where it says, the greatest power that is in the world. I mean,
yes,
that's pretty amazing, right? The greatest power. So linking to this, being able to get our sincere heart, and the fact that we can, and this has happened to me where I prayed and instantly heard back from the Lord. And I mean, it's a wonderful thing to realize, you know, even though it's vast, vast distance between where I think my Father in heaven is and where I'm at. And yet I've had that answer come immediately to my heart. It's a real testimony that all things are present to our Heavenly Father. Everything is present all at once. And it is wonderful to contemplate when it does happen that you actually have moved his heart, and he's heard you. He's actually spoke back to you. And anyway, I'll pass.
Brother Aaron, thank you.
Yes. In the sealed book of Moses, chapter 5, verse 35, he writes, "For how much a sincere prayer made with a broken heart and a contrite spirit is enough to move the hand of him who commands the whole universe." Thank you.
Thank you. But it's also, again, the sincere heart and a contrite feeling, and what we have learned, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, it points to the same thing. It points to humility before our omnipotent Father, the creator of the universe. And if we learn to grow in faith, that we are we have a possibility of serving by accepting our and magnifying our call in the priesthood of using that power to serve. And then we are learning about the sonship, I think. The function of the reality of Jesus now, as in difference to the influence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has to do more with the power in our sonship calling, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. So let's go to verse 15. Or Tyler, you want to comment? Sorry.
I'd like to say something.
Oh, sorry, Brother Tyler was first.
Oh, see, go ahead.
Yeah, I love this passage because God is establishing that connection, or Jesus is establishing that connection we're to have with God as his children. And it reminds me a little bit of the parable that Jesus taught in Luke 18. He said, he spake this parable unto certain men who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The Pharisee said, I thank you, I'm not like other men and all these bad things, and I do all these good things. And then the publican stood far away, wouldn't so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be abased, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So who does the Lord regard? Those who are of a humble and contrite spirit. And that's what he'll listen to. It's not the flowery words. It's not the eloquence. It's not the things that impress men. But what's in our heart, and bringing from our heart to the Lord is something I believe he greatly rejoices in.
Thank you. Only those who seek, didn't they? But was, no,
only by having purity of heart. Or?
Only by having purity of heart can feelings of holiness be attained. But this is to be holy, to be pure before God. Thank you, Brother Tyler. Brother Jude.
In verse 14, I really love the words here. For only a sincere heart moved by a contrite spirit is able to move the land of him who rules the whole universe. So this refers, I believe, refers to the words of King Benjamin, which he reiterated and preached to his people in the book of Mosiah chapter 3. Verse 19 to 21. This kind of sincere heart and feelings is only intended to little children. And this is what King Benjamin taught in verse 19. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever unless he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and footeth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become it as a child. So a child has the sincere heart and a contrite feeling. Submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord sees fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. Verse 20, and moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when the time cometh, mine none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. So the sincere heart, which moved by contrite feelings, signify little children.
Amen.
And that is the power that comes from God when we have such kind of feeling like little children.
Thank you. So the children do not have an agenda like we sometimes have. I think this is what we should learn, to get our agendas aligned as saints of the second invitation, and realize the power and the pioneering spirit we need to really believe and make others interested in the joy and the love that is in us. Thank you, Brother Jude. Let's go to verse 15. Sister Dolores, would you read that, please?
Yes, verily unto you that it is the pure and lofty sentiments proceeding from the gifts of God that all wisdom from the heavens is hidden, because they contain within themselves the possibility of sensitizing the feelings of the one who is all-seeing, and through sincerity and truthfulness of urgency moves heaven and earth to the aid of that son who truly knows how to speak with the Father. I liked what you said concerning verse 13, although I heard it a different way than what you spoke, but you were talking about God listening to his sons, but also I heard it as sons listening to their father. If we have this feeling in our hearts that we are truly a child of God and that he answers as a father would, and we send our pleas to him as our father from child or from son. But the gifts are what Jude mentioned in Mosiah and also in Peter, I think it's Second Peter, the second chapter, where all those feelings are listed that we need to have the humility and the contrite feeling in our hearts. That's all.
Thank you. Also reminds me of the hearts of the fathers turned to the children in Malachi, and the children to the father. So, and eternal round, and also the adoption thing also refers to these blessings of our forefathers that we become conscious of in this time, with the specific problems of this time, and not problems, but challenges. I'm sorry, try to not use that word. And interesting, this verse is through sincerity and truthfulness of urgency. I think that's very interesting in getting people to be interested in this calling, this new message of the second invitation, the urgency, the priority of it, the peace we have in store for people who are confused and and broken and in pain. So what a great joy. We are only studying a few verses today because this is really zooming in. This is Jesus speaking before he's going to talk about the olive tree. So this is really zooming in on the core of the gospel, which we have now in our possession, before opening or getting more information through our prophet Mauricio. So, and also, so interesting, the possibility of sensitizing. So we have learned about what is in ourselves, men become what they carry within themselves. Yes? So, but what we carry around with us, that's also something with repenting. We first have to become conscious of what we're doing wrong. People tend to forget that there's only a list and you have to do this and you have to do that. Now, we have to do many things which are not written down, but we have to feel and think for ourselves to be able to offer a good sacrifice, a good song, a convincing prayer, praying with the faith of that it's gonna happen, because we're at such a good standing with our Father, and that's the familiarity. I love that the sister Dolores pointed out. Brother Aaron, you want to say something?
Yes. I asked ChatGPT where Peter talks about the good sentiments, and I have 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And the other reference, if you all want to write this down, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He speaks of sincere love. "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." And the third passage is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. He says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." And there's just one more passage I want to share from Moses. I love this one. It's in chapter 5, verse 32. Moses says, "This gift to be used by grace, temporarily allowed to one who attains divine recognition by means of supplication and prayer, or by means of an authorized representative of the Son of the only begotten of the Father in the flesh, by whose priestly office he allows him to use that greater feeling, or even of other derivatives of it, that if allows to flow, and that frees, that awakens, that is reborn, that renews, and finally, that sculpts the human character and dignifies him according to the divine personality in a higher being coated of charity and compassion." Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Well,
thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Harm, for your lessons today. You have any final words?
Yes, I want to emphasize that we ponder the all-seeing this week, and the sensitivity of our own souls, and think about for next week about the birds. Look at the birds, look up, and think about what we also have to do every day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much,
everybody.
Well, I'll end the recording at this time. We got as far as verse 15, so we have 16 through 20 next week.